With similar products out in the marketplace, ag retailers have to set themselves apart. Brad Smith of Nutrien Ag Solutions explains why they focus on customer service to retain growers, and he also addresses the fact that some producers are bypassing traditional brick-and-mortar businesses to purchase their inputs online. I'm Ashley Davenport, and you're listening to the Ag Pro Podcast. Joining me today on the Ag Pro Podcast, I'm talking with Brad Smith. He is a sales agronomist for Nutrien Ag Solutions. And Brad, where are you based out of?
Selma, Alabama, west central part of the state.
And you know, Brad, you're a football fan, right?
Absolutely.
So, Brad, I almost didn't want to talk to you today. Nothing personal, but I'm a Boilermaker, and your Auburn Tigers really stomped all over us in the Music City Bowl a few weeks ago.
Well, you know, and I'm sorry to hear that because we certainly enjoyed our bowl game, and we're kind of glad that our counterpart here in the state did not enjoy their bowl game, but glad that we were ahead of the curve as far as the SEC goes, and we won our bowl game. So.
Yeah, you didn't just win. You stepped all over the Boilermakers.
Well, every once in a while we can have a few moments of delight, but hopefully our program will turn around and be more of a on the national front next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a good program. So instead of talking about football, we're going to talk about ag retail space. So how long have you been involved in ag retail and with Nutrien?
I have been in ag retail for 28 years, and this is my 25th year with Nutrien or Legacy Companies.
And in those two decades, Brad, you've seen a lot of changes in ag retail. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So when I first came to Central Alabama, we were essentially in the chemical business and sold some cottonseed. And with the changes that have taken place throughout the years, we are now very heavily in the fertilizer business, and we certainly still sell chemical and quite heavily into the seed business as far as all aspects. One of the things that is different about our area is that we have quite a bit of recreational hunting, and so that's another thing that we do that certainly would not be the same all across the country.
And you guys farm different crops than most of the people in the Midwest, right? You've got cotton down there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we're different from the Midwest in is the fact that we've got at least five different crops that someone potentially would and or could plant between corn, soybeans, cotton, peanuts, grain sorghum, and then potential for winter crops.
As someone on the sales retail side of things, how are you able to demonstrate ROI on your products and services to farmers, maybe that are a little bit on the fence of, okay, is this really going to work on my operation? How do you demonstrate that?
Well, you know, people buy from people, and there's very little difference in the products that we sell as opposed to products that others sell, competitors. And so the thing that we have to do to show our value to a customer is from a service standpoint. And to different customers, service means different things. Some customers think of service as being able to provide the lowest price possible, whereas other customers have a tremendous amount of need for hand-holding from a planting stage, from a working to find their best option, from who could potentially finance some of their inputs from some of the different supplier accounts, to helping people figure out if they need to change from what they're doing to a different crop, maybe something else is grown in the area, to trying to help them figure out which equipment purchase is going to be the most beneficial for their operation.
And that's important to build those relationships and maintain those. And if you've been in the business like you have for more than two decades, you have those relationships built.
Well, it is. And even within that, you have word of mouth that where you have customers that have had a good experience and they happen to know someone maybe that you weren't currently doing business with, and they express a need or a similar need to what these guys had experienced before, and so they share the experience. And you know, from that, you're able to glean new business. And, you know, there are multiple different ways that that this business shifts and evolves and moves and changes.
So what has been one thing that you that has been the biggest positive change, or maybe the top two positive changes that you've seen maybe in the last 5 years?
Well, one of the biggest changes, whether viewed as positive or negative, has been some of the new technologies from the Dicamba to the Enlist system and the challenges that it presents. And some of the bigger changes we've had over, I'd say, close to the last 10 years has been digging deeper with multiple customers within their precision farming profile and bringing to them grid sampling and variable rate application of fertilizer, variable application of seeding, and looking to some of the newer and upcoming technologies as to how they could potentially benefit them as a grower.
Now, Brad, how are you personally working with some of your farmers to implement some of these changes on their operations?
Well, by laying out some of their fields and looking at bringing in their yield monitor, yield data, sorting through the challenges that some of the operations have as far as being able to keep good quality, accurate yield data when you're looking at multiple harvesters, and being able to equate that back to where their expenses were and trying to look at potential savings there from the standpoint of not planting a certain crop on certain acres, to either increasing or decreasing seeding rate or increasing or decreasing their fertility programs.
Brad, in this era of so much data, so much information that is collected on farms, how are you able to best utilize this data to help these growers?
Well, one of the main things that I've seen is that you have to have a goal. If you just take everything that is available out there from a data standpoint, you will wind up with information overload. And much like the old adage about how to eat an elephant one bite at a time, we have to take and analyze and look at each farm separately. We have to look at each field, each grower, each crop separately and differently, and understanding what the customer's goals are. And sometimes the customers don't know what the goals are. A lot of times I don't necessarily know what the goals are. So, you know, you have to sit back, and part of the things that we all need to do, either on an annual or even more frequent than that basis, is to decide where we're headed, what we're looking to accomplish. You know, I've heard it often said that most growers have between 40 and 50 chances on a crop. And so look at where you were and where you are and where you want to get to. Those can allow us to form a goal. And just like the problem areas did not get to be a problem all at once, you can't solve them all at once because there are so many different things that are occurring in a field, weather, planting dates, fertility, in our area, nematodes are a huge factor, and they can be a problem some years, and then some years they don't manifest themselves as being problems.
I guess from one year to the next, you expect X to be a problem, and it's actually Y that's your big problem, and yeah. Sometimes those things are tough to manage, or even we talked a little bit before we started to roll this podcast, but talking about the year that you had, the growing season, you can't predict March, April to December when you're laying down your fertilizer and different things like that.
That's exactly right. And which that brings up another whole challenge there as well, because of the fact that we have been wet since the beginning of harvest. There's been almost zero fall application work done. There's actually been almost zero soil sampling done this fall because of the wet weather. And so when you compound the fact that there was very little fall work done, then that is going to add that much more to the plate for the springtime.
Absolutely. Now, Brad, on the going back to talking a little bit about the retail side, what are some parts of the industry that are misunderstood or misrepresented?
You know, there's lots of different businesses that think that they know and understand the retail ag business. And with from what I read with FBN, because they're not very heavily involved in bricks and mortar, you know, there's a value that they're providing somewhere along the chain, but that's different than the brick and mortar type retailers and what we provide. And so one of the things that is a challenge in different areas and is a misunderstood deal is how much value should there be on bricks and mortar? How much value should there be on having someone in a relatively close area that you can deal with as far as looking at your crop and making recommendations, excuse me. One of the challenges that we have in our geography is because we have so many different crops and we don't know exactly what people are going to plant, growers typically only make purchases within 6 or 7 days of when they're going to use them. Now, they may have decided they were going to plant cotton in February, but they may not make a decision on variety until sometimes as late as the day or the day before they're planting, because if they have been if they've been set back in their planting schedule, they may want to change the maturity of what they're planting, and likewise with soybeans and corn. So, you know, as a retailer, we're challenged with not only trying to be there to provide products and make delivery to the customer, but also almost mind reading from a standpoint and weather prediction as far as trying to outguess what's taking place there. So I think when a lot of people look to look down at what retail can do or has done, you know, they think that everyone can provide some of these things at no cost. And when, just like the grower, everyone still has to make a profit. And when you're tying up capital in product that you're going to have to look to return or move around, fuel, time, people, all cost money. And I think that's one of the prime things that that growers don't actually have to put a dollar amount on, because there is no charge for what we do, you know, along those lines. It has to come in what our sales price is on product.
Well, and I think I just had this conversation with somebody this morning, how interesting it is with the news that Sears is going under, talking about how more people are buying online and how that's happening in agriculture too. I've been hearing more about people buying their inputs online, or that they've been doing that, or there are some places you could buy your seed online.
Sure. And there are options for that as long as you know that that's exactly what you want and you know it ahead of time. No different than myself. If I needed a box of 2.5-inch long decking screws for a project that I may have at home, you know, I would potentially can go online and purchase those and have them delivered right to my doorstep, and I never have to go in a hardware store to get them. But on the same token, if I need some insight as to what the proper decking screw might be for me to utilize in that project, I would need to go and visit with and find someone that could help me understand what I need to do. And so if a grower has no need for the different services that retailers provide, I really don't see an issue with someone making purchases that way, because that is nothing more than another way to facilitate getting product where it needs to be. You know, simply no different than getting the screws I might need for a deck project at home. And so I think that the days of everyone stocking everything for everyone is shifting. But as we're not seeing very many new products coming on to the market to be available to replace older existing products, I think that is where the maturity of this market is allowing those things to take place, because growers have been using atrazine for 45 years plus. Growers have been using 2,4-D for multiple years. And so I think from a maturity standpoint, there are some things that take place that can make sense. But I think that in the interim, and I don't know if that interim period is 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, that there are still a number of growers that need help in making decisions concerning their purchases.
Absolutely, Brad. That's excellent insight. Now, if a grower wants to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
Typically, growers, phone call or text. But, Nutrien has a website, NutrienAgSolutions.com, and with location capabilities for being able to plug in a zip code and give you different options for which locations are located closest to the grower.
Awesome. And Brad, you're also on Twitter, right?
Yes. I have not changed my Twitter handle at CPS Brad, capital C, capital P, capital S, capital B, R-A-D is my Twitter handle.
Awesome. Well, I have been talking with Brad Smith. He is a sales agronomist with Nutrien Ag Solutions located in Selma, Alabama. Brad, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed the visit.
I'm Ashley Davenport, your host of the Ag Pro Podcast. Thank you again for joining me this week talking ag retail. Every Wednesday, I release a new episode on the AgriTalk app or wherever you listen to your podcast. And if you have an idea for a podcast, please let me know. There's a couple ways you can do that. Let me know on Twitter at AshD926. Or if you don't have Twitter, send me an email, adavenport@farmjournal.com. Until next time, have a great week and stay safe out there.